Quantum Universes. When Hugh Everett discussed his many worlds theory with other physicists, he received puzzled or indifferent reactions. One physicist, Bryce DeWitt of the University of Texas, objected to the theory because, "I just can't feel myself split." But this, Everett said, is similar to the way Galileo answered his critics, who said that they could not feel the Earth moving. Eventually, DeWitt was won over to Everett's side and became a leading proponent of the theory. For decades, the many worlds theory languished in obscurity. It was simply too fantastic to be true. John Wheeler, Everett's advisor at Princeton, finally concluded that there was too much excess baggage associated with the theory. But one reason that Everett's theory is suddenly in vogue right now is because physicists are attempting to apply the quantum theory to the last domain that has resisted being quantized, the universe itself. Applying the uncertainty principle to the entire universe naturally leads to a multiverse. The concept of quantum cosmology at first seems like a contradiction in terms. The quantum theory refers to the infinitesimally tiny world of the atom, where cosmology refers to the entire universe. But consider this. At the instant of the Big Bang, the universe was much smaller than an electron. Every physicist agrees that electrons must be quantized. That is, they are described by a probabilistic wave equation, the Dirac equation, and can exist in parallel states. Hence, if electrons must be quantized, and if the universe was once smaller than an electron, then the universe must also exist in parallel states, a theory that naturally leads to a many-worlds approach. The Copenhagen interpretation of Niels Bohr, however, encounters problems when applied to the entire universe. The Copenhagen interpretation, although it is taught in every PhD-level quantum mechanics course on Earth, depends on an observer making an observation, and collapsing the wave function. The observation process is absolutely essential in defining the macroscopic world. But how can one be outside the universe while observing the entire universe? If a wave function describes the universe, then how can an outside observer collapse the wave function of the universe? In fact, some see the inability to observe the universe from outside the universe as a fatal flaw of the Copenhagen interpretation. In the many worlds approach, the solution to this problem is simple. The universe simply exists in many parallel states, all defined by a master wave function, called the wave function of the universe. In quantum cosmology, the universe started out as a quantum fluctuation of the vacuum, that is, as a tiny bubble in the space-time foam. Most baby universes in the space-time foam have a big bang and then immediately have a big crunch afterward. That is why we never see them, because they are extremely small and short-lived, dancing in and out of the vacuum. This means that even nothing is boiling with baby universes popping in and out of existence, but on a scale that is too small to detect with our instruments. But for some reason, one of the bubbles in the space-time foam did not re-collapse into a big crunch, but kept on expanding. This is our universe. According to Alan Guth, this means that the entire universe is a free lunch. In quantum cosmology, physicists start with an analog of the Schrödinger equation, which governs the wave function of electrons and atoms. They use the DeWitt-Wheeler equation, which acts on the wave function of the universe. Usually, the Schrödinger wave function is defined at every point in space and time, and hence you can calculate the chances of finding an electron at that point in space and time. But the wave function of the universe is defined over all possible universes. If the wave function of the universe happens to be large when defined for a specific universe, it means that there is a good chance that the universe will be in that particular state. Hawking has been pushing this point of view. Our universe, he claims, is special among other universes. The wave function of a universe is large for our universe and is nearly zero for most other universes. Thus, there is a small but finite probability that other universes can exist in the multiverse. But ours has the largest probability. Hawking, in fact, tries to derive inflation in this way. In this picture, a universe that inflates is simply more likely than a universe that does not. And hence, our universe has inflated. The theory that our universe came from the nothingness of the space-time foam might seem to be totally untestable, but it is consistent with several simple observations. First, many physicists have pointed out that it is astonishing that the total amount of positive charges and negative charges in our universe comes out to exactly zero, at least to within experimental accuracy. We take it for granted that in outer space, gravity is the dominant force. Yet this is only because the positive and negative charges cancel out precisely. If there was the slightest imbalance between positive and negative charges on the Earth, it might be sufficient to rip the Earth apart, overcoming the gravitational force that holds the Earth together. One simple way to explain why there is this balance between positive and negative charges is to assume that our universe came from nothing, and nothing has zero charge. Second, our universe has zero spin. Although for years Kurt Gödel tried to show that the universe was spinning by adding up the spins of the various galaxies, astronomers today believe that the total spin of the universe is zero. The phenomenon would be easily explained if the universe came from nothing, since nothing has zero spin. Third, our universes coming from nothing would help to explain why the total matter-energy content of the universe is so small, perhaps even zero. When we add up the positive energy of matter and the negative energy associated with gravity, the two seem to cancel each other out. According to general relativity, if the universe is closed and finite, then the total amount of matter-energy in the universe should be exactly zero. If our universe is open and infinite, this does not have to be true. But inflationary theory does seem to indicate that the total amount of matter-energy in our universe is remarkably small.